Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, we have come to understand how to overcome by the blood. That it's not by shouting the blood of Jesus, but by saying the things that the blood says. We have seen that we've been on trial. Every day we're on trial. Every aspect of life. A country can be on trial. A nation, are they going to prosper? Is it going to be well with them or it will not be well with them? Those are the things that when somebody is on trial, that's what we're saying. You're getting married. Is it going to be well with your marriage? Is it going to be well with your children? You're doing a business. That's what we mean by we're on trial. What you will experience is what God says. And that is God's judgment. We read from that Hebrews chapter 12 that we have come to God the judge. Without God's permission, nothing happens on the earth. So we must be careful. The most important point I made from that is that it's what we say that really sways the judgment either for or against us. Because Satan is saying his own, and we hear the echoes of accusation on the earth. Jesus, by his blood, is speaking something. And once we agree with what Jesus is saying, then we are automatic overcomers. Don't forget this lesson of the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea. They had all the power on their side. The angels were ready to do battle for them any time, but they went there and said, we are not able. And that was it. They were not able, and they died in the wilderness. And David, even though he appeared small and everything appeared to have been against him physically, Goliath was big, armed, experienced, but David was small, naive, and had only a staff and a few stones and a sling. Yet David triumphed because he spoke according to what God had planned. Don't forget that thing. It's not just about speaking positively, but first discovering what God is saying. Because this life, God is the judge. It's what he says at the end of the day that's the main thing. So if we agree with him, we succeed. If we speak positively but in disagreement with him, it doesn't have any positive effect. So this is why it's important that as a child of God, you handle your life with prayer. Because when you use prayer, when you pray, you present your petitions to God, and the Spirit of God infuses ideas into you. He opens your eyes to see scriptures. He opens your ears to hear things when you go to church or you go to places. And those are the things that decide your victory, that you are agreeing with God. Now, I want to continue that series on the force of faith. Let me begin to round it off by showing us another thing about nurturing our faith. Your faith must be nurtured because it is important. Don't forget, by faith we acquire life. Where we should have died, by faith we will live. Where we should have failed, by faith we will succeed. Where things should have gone wrong, by faith we will make them right. Where there's disorder and there's chaos, we will join God in creation and bring forth the power of creativity onto the earth and make them right. God looked at the earth that was formless and was void. He didn't just comment, he began to create. The Bible said he incubated. That is, he said the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the deep. And then God said, that is, having incubated something, he spoke and he brought order into the midst of disorder. And that's what we do with our faith as children of God. Now, still talking about that faith matter, therefore, let us read from the book of Luke chapter 18. There's a parable here that Jesus was describing, and just one verse I want to highlight, but I have to read everything in context. From verse 2, he said, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. That is, unjust in that he doesn't fear God, he doesn't fear man. He said, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, this is my emphasis. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I have read this to underscore the importance of faith again. That is, without faith, even though God wants to do something for us, he wants to deliver us from troubles, he wants to avenge us of our adversaries, he wants to deliver us from economic problems, he wants to create a good nation for us, without faith, he cannot. That's why Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's just trying to underscore the importance of faith. When I started teaching this Force of Faith series, one of the first things I emphasized is the fact that to have the power of God manifested in life for us, it must be because we have activated it by faith. That's what the Bible calls grace. It says it must be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. That's Romans chapter 4. Now, I explained something then I read from the book of Mark chapter 11. You read around from that verse 22, after Jesus Christ cursed the tree, he explained that for you to do what I have done? He said, well, number one, have faith in God. And I said, if you have faith in God, if you say to this mountain, all right, be removed and be cast into the sea, and if you don't doubt but believe, what he was saying is that if you can believe, I emphasize that he wasn't giving faith as a commandment per se, but as a condition. That's why when we refer to Mark chapter 9, there was a man who wanted healing for his son. The man said to the Lord, if you can do anything, and Jesus said, it's not about whether I can do anything, it's about whether you can believe. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to anyone who believes. Please get the point. It is if we can believe. That is, our faith is given as a condition for results. Our faith is given as a condition for success. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is the fact that we need to nurture our faith. It's so important. Jesus said that God may want to deliver you, but if he doesn't find faith, what is he going to do? And what I want to explain is how to nurture that faith. What are we supposed to do? I want to just give you a few practical steps. You know, the other time I said something that I went into a bookshop and I saw a book titled Childless But Not Less. You know, they were trying to explain to me how I can go through life as a childless person. And like I said, it's not as if it's an evil thing to learn somehow to cope with difficulties, but I just wasn't willing to start my marriage out on that premise. Are you getting my point? Start making excuses for what is far short of God's plan for me. God said, I make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. And that's what I want to hear. Not how to cope with God not giving me that blessing. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense there. Now, so the issue is that I need to nurture my faith. If I want anything in life, I need to nurture my faith. The battle of life actually is a battle for faith. What Satan is trying to do is to wear down your faith. When he's trying to wear down the saints, what he's trying to do is to make them lose hope. He wants you to lose hope, to believe that what God said will happen will not happen. You know, some people went around the point in time teaching them because the apostles then commented on it, saying that the resurrection has already happened. Or some will say that, are you sure Jesus is going to come again? And actually, that is what Satan wants to achieve. He wants to, by the events happening on this earth, discourage you. All right, make it appear as if the thing you have believed for will not happen. And what the Bible calls patience is the ability to hold on to faith over time. And that is work, actually. That is a major work that we need as believers, as children of God, the ability to hold tenaciously to our faith. Now, get this point, it's not the ability to hold to our desires, but the ability to hold to what we have believed is the plan of God for our lives. As people say, how do I know the plan of God? It's very simple. For an average person, it's very simple. Just pay attention to God's word. As the word of God comes forth, the Spirit of God will activate truth in your heart. You will come to know something for sure. Do you get what I'm going to say? It is not as if you have to go to a mountain and go and pray until the Spirit speaks to you. The Spirit may not come to speak to you. I like to tell people, most times God does not speak in loud words to people. How does God speak? You go to church, you hear a word. How does God speak? You are listening to this broadcast and you are hearing something. How does God speak? You pick up your Bible in the morning and it speaks to you. It gives you direction. Several times in life, I've had the word of God directly give me direction. I've given testimonies of that in previous times. That is, I'm confused about what to do. And then as I'm just sitting there and praying, I remember when I had to make my decision concerning what I was going to do after my youth service. I remember that very day. For some months, it had been on my mind. And I'd been praying and I'd been praying. I'd been praying. And then one day I was sitting down. I still remember the chair I was sitting down. I came home from youth service. And I sat on the chair, just in the dear Lord, what do I do? Then suddenly an idea came to my mind. It was the first time I had the idea of pursuing this particular course I ended up pursuing as a postgraduate doctor. It was my first time of thinking about it. And it was sure in my heart, I knew that's what I wanted to do. If you tell me that, okay, how were you sure it was God? Well, I don't have those arguments to give to you. I just knew. You know, I make a joke all the time that people say, did God speak to you concerning the wife you marry? I would say, yes, he did. I said, what did he say? I said, the day of the wedding, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. So that was the voice of God. I know, listen, sometimes they went to mountain, they prayed for 5 days, and then God spoke to them. I saw a lady I liked. She was of good character. She had the kind of faith that I had. She had the kind of vision concerning God. One of the things that my wife said, we were not married. And one of the things she said that impressed me most was that when she had to go for youth service and there was an issue about where or not, he said, look, I just want to be where God wants me to be. That statement, I never forgot it because I had seen people who said, no, if you don't post me to Lagos, I'm going to die, you know, jump up and down. I liked her spirit. You get my point? And she reciprocated my love. You follow me? That she also liked my spirit. She liked the fact that I could teach her the word of God. And two of us got along very well. And my father talked to her father and everybody agreed. And then we organized wedding. And finally God spoke at the end of the day. I pronounce you man and wife. Do you understand my point? And we have been married for quite a while now. So people, you know, they want to hear a voice open in heaven. Listen, my friend, you're not a prophet. Stop waiting for voices. If God chooses to speak to you, well and good. The Bible says that the Spirit distributes these manifestations, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as he wills. You know, in fact, I'm digressing now, but I feel like I can help one or two people. Because one of the things we have is that we get into a rut as Christians. We forget that life is meant to be lived in a normal way. That is, when I say normal now, I don't mean that you walk the way of the world. I mean God teaches you precepts in life. Do you get my point? God teaches you faith. Don't be afraid of tomorrow. Don't be afraid of what will happen to you. Take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. He said, this is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification, that you abstain from all fleshly lust. We know that. So the will of God, first and foremost for everybody, is to walk righteously. So we walk according to righteousness that we have all learned. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then after that, God begins to give desires to different people. A man decides that, look, I just love to sing. I like the way people respond when I'm singing. Some say, no, I only like to sing praise songs. I don't have to say that. Well, I'm not so keen on singing praise songs because you can be a Christian musician and not be leading worship. You can be singing nice songs and you're a Christian. The person says, no, I like to encourage people with words. Another person says, no, I like to teach in this particular area. So I'm going to go back to school so as to fine-tune my skill in teaching. Now, what has happened to all of them? Believe me, they are each discovering the will of God. The will of God is that which comes into your heart when you have made up your mind to walk with God. And when I say made up your mind to walk with God, it's in the basic things of life. How you relate with people. As a young man, how you relate to young women. As a young woman, how do you relate with men? How do you relate in your business as a business person? Do you defraud people? Are you concerned about your customer? No, I was thinking about it this morning. There are some people, something led to it actually. Some people, all they want to do is just sell. You know, and get money. They are not thinking about what the person they are selling something to, are you getting my point, is going to benefit. That is unrighteousness. So you look at it, you do your business in the good manner. You want to help, you want to be a blessing. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? At the end of the day, God, whatever comes to your heart in the state of righteousness, you will discover God's will in it. Because as you go on, one of the ways by which Satan lets you know this is my will, and God lets you know this is not my will, is by the things you have to do to persist in the thing that you call the will of God. Do you get my point? Let us, you want to do a particular business. Somebody tells them, look, we have to start smuggling. We have to start cheating. We have to... No, you know that this business is not the will of God. So I'm just saying this, that let's not wait for when God will speak to us by one supernatural voice. Let's walk in a normal manner, righteous manner, and we'll discover God's will in it. So what I'm saying is this. Faith is what I'm actually talking about. So in faith, we hold on to what we know God wants to do in our lives. We need to nurture our faith. Once we hold on by faith to what God wants to do in our lives, then most certainly, eventually, the result will come. That's what the Bible calls due season. When we say due season, it means that not every day is due season. That is, we have to wait for it. You can plant today, it might take 3 months, it might take a year. Depending on what you planted, it might take 10 years for you to finally get the result, all right, of what you are waiting for. Now, but then, no matter how long it takes, to hold on to faith through that period is what the Bible calls patience. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, it said we should be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, the word patience there means that they held on to their faith over time. And it was specifically given an example about Abraham. God called Abraham and it took him 25 years after the day of the calling for Isaac to be born. All right? But in those 25 years, he never forsook God. God kept on training him. He kept on getting better in his walk of faith, in his walk of righteousness. He was learning how to be more pleasing to God. And eventually, Isaac was born. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, so that's what I mean when I say you nurture our faith. And there are practical steps, all right? That's what I want to emphasize on how to nurture this faith. Number one, there are many things that try to kill our faith. And we have to avoid those things. I'll give you a few practical examples. If you read from the book of John chapter 5, in verse 44, Jesus made a statement there, talking about people whose faith were dead, who were not believing God. He said, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Now, what was he saying there? He said, I have come in my Father's name and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. And why is it like that? Because you are more concerned about the honor that people give you than that which God gives. Now, let me say something briefly about the honor from men and the honor from God. Men give you honor fast, but then it does not last. You displease them one day, next day. In fact, even though you don't displease them, they don't have the power to sustain it. You are happy because a rich man loves you. But God says that how come you are so subservient or respectful or fearing a man whose breath is in his nostrils, that tomorrow may come and the man may die? Actually, I have seen a situation like that happen to a young man. A young man once came to see me, said that he wanted some advice. He wanted to go abroad. He went for the visa. The first time they denied him. And next time he met a man, a rich man, who said, look, well, you don't need all these problems, you know, in getting this visa. I will help you out. The day you are going to go for the visa, just let me know. I will give you a lot of money, you know, maybe British pounds and plenty of it. I will give you a letter and do this and this for you, and you will have no problem. Because the man was wealthy, and if you're connected to such a wealthy person, they will be able to help. So the young man told me that he went to apply for the visa again. The day he was going to go, the visa interview was the next day. That day the man died. And this really happened. The man who he had placed all his hope on, the man said, don't worry, I will help you, we'll get the visa. The day before the visa interview, the man died. As a matter of fact, he told me, he said, Pastor Banky, what am I going to do? Of course, I'll go for the interview then, and of course, they had denied him. I said, listen, if there are too many obstructions in your way, in this kind of situation, just go back and relax. Relax. In due season, God will take you to where he wants to take you to. You have tried everything and it's not working. I don't know how much he took my advice, but I just want to explain that human beings can disappoint, not because they always want to disappoint. Sometimes it is not within their power. And Jesus said that trying to please men all the time actually wears out your faith. A lot of people do things that they don't believe in just because somebody else will be happy. Cigarette smoking is a very interesting thing. Cigarette smoking is something that does nobody any good. I'm a doctor, I can tell you, as a matter of fact, there is no good thing known to medical science that comes from cigarette smoking. If you have tried it before, you know what I'm about to say is the truth. Most people that smoke for the first time, the thing irritates their throat, irritates their system, it makes them cough the first time. But how come I have so many people smoking all over town? I'll tell you. Because, in fact, there was something we found out when we were in university those days, and it was a theory that I had, and I had never been proven wrong. I said, if anybody enters university, and at the end of this first year, he's not smoking, he will never smoke in his life. That it's rare to find a man who went to university and at the end of his first year on campus, he has not started smoking and he still ended up smoking. That is very, very unlikely. Most people survive the first year on campus will never smoke if they didn't smoke in the first year. You say why? The reason was very simple. A young boy, he's 16. He enters university, he's 17. And he sees the bigger boys, they are happening. You get my point? And you know him by happening. And they have a cigarette in their hand. And it looks like one of the ways you can impress everybody. And then they've just left home for the first time, so they want to show everybody that they have grown up. And one of the ways you want to show is by smoking. Now, I'm trying to say something. It's peer pressure. The desire to please people, the desire to be found acceptable to the people around, is with the pressure that makes most people smoke. Because the first time they try, it doesn't work. But you see, they need to impress people. My theory about the first year thing is that at the end of the first year, most people have realized that you don't need to impress anybody in this place. Nobody's thinking of you. I remember one boy when I was on campus then. He came in, speaking, spray. Please, who picked this sponge I picked here? Was speaking, you know, I look like this local boy. Say, why is he talking like this? Actually, you know, I have a friend who doesn't, you know, he doesn't care. He will tell you the truth. So we used to hear the guy across the divide in the room where we're staying. So I said, look, now one new student did that place. He just talked this kind of nonsense for name for us. So one day he came, he just called the guy. The guy's name was Paul. The guy came to greet him. He said, Paul, come here. I didn't want to have been talking that nonsense language at that end. He said, listen, my friend, anytime you enter this room, you talk like a normal Nigerian. Do you understand the point? Now, this is a boy who has never gone abroad. I wonder how many movies he has watched. Later on, the following year, I now refer to that incident with this guy, Paul. He said, actually, when he first came, he just wanted to, you know what I mean, wanted to look like a real happening fellow. But those of us who have been in school for longer, we knew it was not necessary. Speaking your native tongue, it doesn't change your chances of survival. Do you understand my point? It does not spoil anything for you. But I'm using it to explain something. One of the things that kill our faith, all right, is when we want to belong with those who are not really so concerned about us. Even though they are concerned, they don't have the power. Our lives are not in their hands. I tell people that, listen, let's take marriage as an example. People say that I want to marry from my area. I want to marry from my area. I say, listen, no problem. I want to marry according to our custom. This is how they do things in our place. You know, in our place, this is wrong. This is right. I said, when you have finished doing everything according to your custom and doing everything, you've married the girl that's from the very village, very next to your own, in fact, from the same village as your mother, at the end of the day, I said, remember to go to the chief of the village and pray for a blessing. Because the God you have disobeyed has no responsibility upon you anymore. He said, oh boy, cross and go and marry in this next state. You see the finest, most well-behaved Christian sister from there. He said, but in our place, don't like people from that state. God said, no problem. She, I have given you my wife of my own choice. Now you have chosen the choice of your people because you want to belong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I always say something that the people you want to impress now, let God bless you in life. That's talking about the glory of God now. If God blesses you, they will be the one begging for your favor. I like the way Bishop Oyedepo said it some time ago. He said there was a time they moved family meeting from his old extended family to his house. Because it turned out that he was the most successful person. He had more money than anybody else. Suddenly, everybody became his friend. He testified that when he was young, his father disliked him. But it got to a time that his father wouldn't make any decision without talking to him. And I've heard that testimony again and again. I remember a lady testifying of when she wanted to get married. And everybody in her family virtually despised the man she was planning to marry because he wasn't so rich. He was not materially successful so much. Of course, she went ahead, followed her faith, the thing that she believed. And eventually they allowed her and she married him. But he became successful in life. But most importantly, he became the number one confidant that her father had. Do you get my point? This was somebody that was not wanted before. Listen to me. If you obey God, when God has finished blessing you, the people who were trying to please that time, they will be the one now trying to please you. Listen, that's why it's so important. Jesus said that, how can you believe when you receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? If you make up your mind that it is God you want to please, listen, God will lift you up in life. If you make up your mind that it's God that you want to please alone, he will bless you so much the other people will be the one looking for your favor. What do you mean when you say you want to please God? Say, if something is not right in the eyes of God, I don't want to do it. Listen, that's one of the ways by which you fine-tune your faith. You nurture your faith. That is one thing. But again, if you read, because my time is almost up, let me quickly read from the book of Psalms. It's something that we all know, Psalm 1. It said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He said, this man shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, why have I read this? Now, he said, this man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. He said, but, that is what differentiates him, is not just that he does not sit or stand or walk in the wrong place, but what he delights in. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord. Let me say something. What you love in life is under your control. You can decide where you love to go and where you don't love to go. Let me give you an example. It surprised most people when I hear that I don't watch football at all. You can play the finals of UEFA Cup in my sitting room and I won't watch it. In fact, many times my TV has been on and they are playing the finals of UEFA Cup or World Cup and I'm not watching. I'm there, I'm just sitting down. I can get up and say, I need to iron. And I'll go and iron. It doesn't worry me. Now, I say, how come you don't like football? I still remember how come I don't like football. I find out that if there are two teams playing and I'm favoring one, I get the high blood pressure. Whether they win or lose is besides the point. The point is that I do not have the ability to control myself. I have found out that I used to get a fever if Nigeria is playing a knockout match. So I woke up one day, I said, I must live long. I just shut my eyes away from football. When you shout out, I don't know where Kano is playing till today. I don't know who is where. It's just a decision I made. I just don't watch football. And the decision I made it many years ago, not now. In fact, the last time I watched football seriously, I think it was Tunisia 94, something like that. After that, when Nigeria finished with winning that one, they went for a world event. As soon as they got knocked out, I resigned. I said, I'm not watching again. Because the effect on me is not good. Now, I'm explaining some point here that I decided what I wanted to love. There are those who cultivate the habit of football. There's one big football broadcaster. One day we're talking about him, and one guy there laughed. Said, the guy is my friend, though. He said, as at a few years ago, the guy knew next to nothing about football. But the guy is a big broadcaster of football now. And it was a few years ago we're discussing. What happened? The man just started studying football. Then he will come on radio in Lagos and started knowing it is news. Arsenal has now done this. Of course, me, I didn't really care, but people will tune in, will be listening to him. And his friend said that this guy, that he himself can't believe what is going on. Just a few years ago, this guy knew very little about football, but he became a national authority in football. That was before everybody knew about the internet. The guy was hooked onto the web. Early in the morning, he has checked the web, and then he will now come on air and be broadcasting for everybody to say, my God. A few years later down the line, the guy became a national name in football. He chose to love something. I'm trying to explain something. You can choose to love the word of God. You can choose to love listening to messages. I've heard people say before that, I don't like all these Nigerian preachers or these American preachers. Listen, my friend, it's what they are saying that matters to me. I don't like anybody. Do you get my point? I love the word of God. And it's a decision you can make. You make that decision to love the word of God, you are nurturing your faith. Listen, if your faith fails, you will lose out in life. So it's your responsibility to nurture your faith. And the one crucially important way to nurture your faith is the kind of company you keep. If you find a man who's always blaspheming, always cursing things that are holy, always speaking negatively against things that are righteous, keep away from the person. Are you getting my point? You keep away from the person. Next time he wants to visit you, make sure that's the time you want to go out also. I remember somebody told me once, he said that he was having an issue and there was one sister that would come and counsel with him. He said as soon as she leaves him, he will be depressed. She will come always criticizing and judging. I told him simply, next time she's coming, get up and find an excuse for going away. Sorry, I have to go out. She may think you have somewhere important to go, but she doesn't understand you have somewhere important to disappear from. Her presence. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I told him, look, it's your life. You can't let somebody come with a spirit of witchcraft and be bewitching you all the time, depressing your faith. You get up, it's your life. What am I trying to explain? That is your responsibility. What do you love? Later on, maybe I'll develop this matter. But I'll go back to the book of Mark chapter 11. Let me just read that one as we close. Mark chapter 11. See, talking about this nurturing your faith in. You know, from verse 22. Now, this happened, of course, you know, after Jesus crossed the tree and Peter came in 21 and said, Master, the fig tree you cursed has withered away. And Jesus now answered, he said, have faith in God. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That is, it's a condition if you can believe. He now said in the very next verse, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. What is he saying there? You can see he's tying this issue of ability to believe when you are praying to the matter of forgiveness. And next time I'm going to develop that what is it about unforgiveness that hinders our faith? One of the ways you nurture your faith is to make sure that there's no unforgiveness in your heart. Make sure you forgive people. And one of the reasons why we are actually not forgiven is because our faith was wrongly placed in the first place. And if we place that faith correctly, we'll discover that forgiveness becomes easy. You thought your father's friend would help you because your father helped him when he was in distress, but he never did. But that's because you placed your hope on man. And he disappointed you until today you are angry and telling the story. This man, I remember when his company was in distress, it was my father that guaranteed the loan that brought him out of distress. Now I wanted the job, he didn't give it to me. You were hoping in man. Your father was the instrument of God to bless the man. God may have chosen another instrument to bless you. So take that off your mind and know that if you focus on God alone, most certainly he will give you his own blessing at the appropriate time. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.